It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Hello, praise the Lord, and welcome to Jesus is the Answer. This is Pastor Peter. I'm going to pray for you and your needs. Please call and somebody will be praying for you, and I will also pray for you and your needs. I believe that our God is a prayer answering God, and we are seeing signs and wonders and miracles happening in the name of Jesus. If you remember, we are studying about the God's salvation plan for mankind. And we learned God's salvation plan doesn't finish saving mankind. God wants us to go to imperfection. And so God wants to make us perfect in Christ Jesus. And last time we learned that difference between the Old Testament people or saints and the New Testament saints. We studied about their baptism, we studied about their salvation, their baptism, their Holy Spirit. And today we are going to learn about the ministry of the Old Testament and the New Testament, because there are so many people are confused and they do not understand the Old Testament ministry and the New Testament ministry. Some people are even trying to go back to Judaism and trying to say that that's the way God is going to save us. As we learn, Jesus is the only Savior. There is none like Jesus. And without Jesus Christ, there is no other Savior. The Word of God says so according to the book of Acts chapter 4 verse 12. So that means there is no other Savior. Jesus is the only Savior because He is the only one shed His precious blood for us. As we know, the Old Testament was started by the blood of bulls and goats. If you read in the book of Exodus chapter 24 and verse 8, Moses takes the blood of the bulls and goats and he sprinkles on people and he says, behold, the blood of the covenant. And that means he said, he took the blood, sprinkle on people, and say, he says, behold, this blood is a covenant God has made with you. Or so, the covenant was made with the blood of goats and bulls. In that chapter, if you read, it says that as soon as he sprinkled the blood on the people and made a covenant with the people with the blood of bulls and goats, he told those people, this is the covenant God has made. And in that chapter, God takes him to the mountains and gives him the Ten Commandments. And as you know, even though they got the Ten Commandments, people were not walking according to the commandment of God. And as you know, many people died in the wilderness. And this New Testament commandment or the new covenant message was not changing the hearts of the people. They were doing rituals, but their heart was not changed or not transformed. And so here we see God says to Jeremiah, I'm going to make a new covenant with the people of God. Now he says, Israeli people, he is going to make a covenant, but that covenant he could not make until today. But the new covenant was made by the blood of Jesus Christ, as we read in book of Matthew chapter 26 verse 28. But the Jeremiah, he said, I'm going to make a new covenant with my people, and I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will forgive their sins. And I will not remember their sins anymore. That didn't happen to Israeli people yet, but that happened to us because of Jesus Christ. Once the Lord sees the blood of Jesus Christ apply to our bodies or our life, and God sees us through Jesus Christ, then He says, you are righteous. So we are righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you read the book of Hebrews chapter 8 verses 7 to 13 or book of Hebrews chapter 10 verses 16 and 17, Paul explains what the Jeremiah was saying. And Paul explains that the Old Testament is decaying, is not working, and God has established the new covenant with the mankind with the blood of Jesus Christ. So you can see the old covenant started by the blood of bulls and goats, New Testament started by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we see with the blood of Jesus Christ washes away all our sins. Not only that, he washes away our dirty, bad conscience. And then when our conscience are clear, we are able to worship the living God. And the Old Testament people could not do these things because they were doing this sacrifice, no change of heart, and keep on doing it again and again. I gave the example last time, if you remember, that book of Psalms, chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. There are two different people are blessed. One person is blessed, his sins are covered. And the verse 2, he says, another person is blessed, his sins are forgiven, he has no guile, and he is sinless. How it happened? The first person was washed by the blood of bulls and goats. The second person was washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when the Jesus Christ blood takes away all your sins, and he forgives you, and he forgets the sin. If you remember Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That means our sins are forgiven by Jesus Christ. So here we see the New Testament started by the blood of Jesus Christ. But the Old Testament started by the blood of bulls and goats. And so book of Hebrews chapter 9 verses 12 to 14, if you read, it says the blood of bulls and goats will not make us perfect, but the blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies us thoroughly, inward out, inside out. But the blood of bulls and goats washes your outward flesh. So now we are going to study the difference between the Old Testament ministry and the New Testament ministry. In the Old Testament, the ministry was given to the Levites. Moses was Levite and Aaron was Levite. So what happened, the Word of God says in a book of Leviticus chapter 8, verse 6, the Moses brings the Aaron and his children in front of the tabernacle and he gives them a bath and then he puts the new clothes on them. Now, even though he says bath, wash them means thoroughly. Some people might be thinking they sprinkled. No, they were maybe baptized or washed thoroughly. And then gives them the garment. And after the garment, he anoints them with the oil. And then he sprinkled the blood again and makes them worthy to serve the Lord. If you compare our ministry or our separation and Aaron and his children, they have to be Levites, we have to be Christian. If someone is not born again Christian and start doing the Lord's work, I don't think God is going to approve that. Because without the washing of the blood, you cannot be born again. Once you are born again child of God, then you are ready to witness. The Word of God says in a book of Romans chapter 10 verse 9 and 10, you have to believe, you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Not only that, you have to believe that he died on the cross of Calvary, he was buried and he is risen. Once that faith comes to you, then you are born again. And then you are witnessing other people that what Jesus Christ has done for you. So that's the starting point. Once you are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. And then that child of God has to be baptized. The Old Testament people, they were taken bath. We have to be baptized immersively. Because the Word of God says baptism means immerse. And the immersion baptism is the right one in the Word of God. And so you have to be baptized. And then Aaron and his children were anointed by the oil we have to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. So, see the difference? Once you are born again, we have the Spirit of God or Spirit of Christ. In those people, they even came to the tabernacle, they were washed, they were clothed, and they were anointed, but there was no change of heart in their hearts. And they were not completely transformed. But the New Testament ministry, as soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are transformed. Your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in heaven. You call the God the Father, Abba. The Spirit of God works in you, and you are ready to witness. And then you take the baptism. Baptism is also the testimony that you receive Jesus Christ and you are going to follow Christ and you are going to follow the steps of Christ. We cannot baptize somebody who is not born again. If the person is not born again, the person is not transformed, then we cannot baptize them. Some people do to get the membership. But according to the Word of God, we cannot baptize them. In Jesus Christ gave the commandment in a book of Matthew chapter 28. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them whatever God commanded, Jesus commanded us, and teach them and make them my disciples. And so they have to believe Jesus Christ. They have to learn the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and they have to follow Christ. And those are the people called followers of Christ. And so if you are not a born-again child of God, you are not going to follow Christ. And if you baptize with the water, then you have a testimony. You're going to tell somebody, now I'm going to follow Christ. I'm a born-again child of God. And then, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God has given us the Holy Spirit to minister. There are people doing the ministry without the Holy Spirit, but the Word of God says, God has given us the Holy Spirit so we can do the perfect ministry, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing the signs and wonders and miracles. That only happens when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the anointing God will work with you. And so it is very important to someone who wants to serve the Lord, has to be born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and have the so many gifts of God, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now somebody will say, oh, anyone can serve the Lord if you are born again children of God. And people are doing it. But they cannot be pastors or apostles or prophet or teachers. And even if they start doing that without the Holy Spirit, it will not be effective. And so I'll give you one example. The church was growing, and then they had a need that someone should do the table service. So what happened? They chose 7 people. What was their qualification? They said, we want 7 people with a good report, means they should be good in the community. Nobody should say this person is bad or wicked. And then that person should be well known in the community. Not only that, he should be studying the Word of God and he should know the Bible very well. And he should be full of the Holy Spirit. What was their job? They were not called to preach the gospel. They were called to do the table service. And look at their qualification. If that qualification needed to do the table service, how much more the qualification we need to serve the living God? When you study the book of Timothy or book of Titus, Paul tells us what kind of deacon should be, what kind of pastor should be. Their qualification is given in those books. The point I'm making, in the Old Testament, their qualification was they have to be Levites, and then Levites will be doing tabernacle service or the temple service, and nobody should be doing that. He said there should be gap between Levites and priests, and other people should be having at least 2,000 feet difference between them. Nobody can touch the Ark of the Covenant. If you remember, one person touched the Ark of the Covenant, instantly he was dead. And if you remember, some people came and start saying to Moses, you know what, why Aaron has to be priest? Why can't we be priest? And then he didn't know what to do. He went to God and said, God, what should I do? He said, okay, take all the 12 rods from 12 tribes and put in the Ark of the Covenant. And next day, the Aaron's rod was budded and the other people's didn't. So from that, God was proving to them only Aaron's family and Aaron's people can be doing the Lord's work in the tabernacle. But as we learn, whatever the ministry God gave to them, but that ministry was decaying. That ministry was not working. That ministry was like a dead ministry. And if you read in the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 3, verse 1 to 18, in that chapter, Paul explained very well what is the difference between the Old Testament ministry and New Testament ministry. He said the Old Testament ministry was just like a dying ministry or dead ministry. He says that letter kills. Letter means the commandment. Commandment were given to people not to make them perfect, but make them guilty, so they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so here we say, that St. Paul is saying, the Old Testament, the old ministry was even glorious, and Moses came from the mountain, and his face was glowing. And the children of Israel said, we don't want to see your face, put the veil, because they were afraid. And when God was talking and they heard the noise and heard the voice of God, they said, we don't want to hear the voice of God, you speak to us. So from that, the word of God said they were like a spiritually dead. Their mind, spiritual mind, was dead. And they were not understanding the will of God. And the Moses was frustrated. And the word of God says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, and if you read verses from 15 to 19, Moses said, oh Lord, send another prophet just like me. And God said, okay, I will send another prophet just like you. But if they don't listen to him, I will punish them. So that means God agreed with Moses and said, I'll give you another prophet just like you. And as you know, Moses' ministry was not perfect. Once God told him, if the children of Israel were very thirsty, he said, go to the rock and strike the rock and water will come. And water came. And next time, still those people were asking water. Moses was frustrated. God says, take the Aaron, take the elders and go. And this time you're going to speak to the rock. And the water will come. And so Moses goes, and he was angry, and he struck the rock twice. And God says, now you cannot go to the promised land. And some people say, what silly thing he did. And so why God gave him that kind of punishment? He says that rock was Christ. Christ was smitten on the cross once. We cannot crucify Christ twice. And so that's what the problem was, and the Moses could not do the will of God, and so God says, I'm going to send another prophet. Do you know, when Jesus Christ came, that was the prophet. There was no other prophet like Jesus. There were other prophets, they did a little bit signs and wonders, raising one person or changing the bread and making multiplying, but Jesus did much more. Jesus says, I am greater than Jonah. I am greater than Solomon, I am greater than the temple, and Jesus Christ was the greatest. When Jesus Christ took his disciples on the mountain, and he said to them, let's go, and Peter, John and James, only three people went there. And there, Jesus Christ's face was transfigured, looked like a sun, and his clothes looked like a light. And so Peter was not able to see properly, but he saw a vision because the light was so bright. Maybe he closed his eyes, I don't know, but he saw a vision. He saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Now here we don't know what they were talking because Bible doesn't say so. But as soon as Peter heard, Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, how about I make one tabernacle for you, one tabernacle for Moses and one tabernacle for Elijah. Before Jesus Christ answered, God said from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Now, what was the problem here? Peter was scared that Jesus Christ is going to die, so it is better to stay in the mountain, and he started comparing Jesus with Moses and Elijah. He started thinking, Jesus is the prophet and those people are prophet. Let them stay in the mountain and he will be safe. Now here we see the Father says to Peter, listen to him. Listen to whom? Listen to my son Jesus Christ. I have sent him because Moses said, send another prophet, and I sent him. And so now God was teaching to Peter, Moses' ministry is finished. Moses is dead. And so some people said, oh, that was a real Moses and Elijah came. Read in the same chapter, Matthew chapter 17. The word of God says, Jesus says this was a vision. And he says, don't tell this vision to anybody until the Son of Man is resurrected. And so that was a vision. That was not a dream, or that was not the real. This was a vision. God was trying to tell these people, Moses' ministry is finished, Old Testament ministry is finished, but the Jesus Christ who is going to give his life for us, and when he sheds his blood, that blood will satisfy the Father, and then nobody has to do any other ministry, means shedding the blood. Now, once and for all, Christ's blood was sufficient. And so the point I'm making here, we see Paul said the Old Testament ministry is over. And then we heard that Jesus Christ said to this people that I have come to give you life and more abundant life. Before that, the people did not have the perfect life. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need everything what you need. The law was bringing you guilt, sin, and curse. But Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, it says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So now we are not under the curse, we are under the grace. If you remember St. John chapter 1 verse 17, it says, the law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the Jesus Christ has given us his grace. He has forgiven our sins. If you read in Ephesians chapter 2 and read from verse 6 to 8 or 9, we read that once you are born again, we are children of God, we lifted to heavenly places, and we sit right with the right hand of Jesus Christ. And he says, salvation came by grace. We didn't have to do anything. So this is just the gift of God and grace of God. So the point I'm making, see, the ministry of the Old Testament was decaying, is dead, is not spiritual, but the ministry of Christ is a spirit, is spirit giving. If you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, whole chapter I told you to read, but it says verse 17, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have freedom. We have liberty. We are not slave to sin. We are not going to go to hell. We are going to go to heaven. Not only that, we are going to sit with Christ. Because that is the greatest ministry. Not only that, Jesus Christ said, I repeat this many, many, many times. He said in John chapter 14, verse 12, whatever the work I did, you do, and you will do greater works. That means, Jesus Christ wants us to do a greater works in this world. No one in the Old Testament or even Christ did not preach and did not prepare the bride for his coming. But the Saint Paul and Peter and other apostles talked about the bride of Christ. So we are much more precious and we have much more to do. We can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us, Paul says. So the point I'm making, just don't settle for the Old Testament things, because if you read in the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that when you read the Moses, the veil is on you. Some people say, what do you mean read the Moses? when you observing the Mosaic law like today Jewish people are doing it, that means they are still spiritually blinded and they are observing the law. But once you receive Jesus Christ, you know how to observe the law. You know how to observe the rituals, because we are free. He says, "Ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free." So dear friends, we learn a little bit the ministry of the Old Testament and ministry of the New Testament. We are going to continue in the next series. So I'm going to pray for you and give you a chance. Why don't you call upon Jesus and say, "Jesus, please come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, please forgive all my sins, wash me with your precious blood, and if you call me, I'm going to serve you." So let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all the listeners. Please supply all their needs, forgive their sins, and make them ready for your soon coming, and let them serve you. In Jesus' name I pray, and I call it done. And if you need CDs or DVDs or anything, we will send it to you. May God richly bless you and use you more and more for His glory. Amen.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.